Hey everyone, it's Mike with Practicing Catholic, back again with our final episode on the theological virtues. Today, we're talking about charity. Again, an amazing virtue given to us so freely. Let's get ready to practice. Well, as always, everyone, I want to thank you for being with us here. Really do appreciate your time. And again, as I mentioned, today's our last time we're going to be talking about the theological virtues ending with charity. And what a time to end with the virtue of charity. Again, just to kind of recap reasons why we're talking about virtue. Again, virtue is something that we can learn, something that we can develop. It's a habit. With regard to the theological virtues, though, because they're of God, we need grace in order for these particular virtues to truly flourish. We've talked about faith. We've talked about hope, and again today, we're going to be talking about charity. So, what is charity? A lot of times, the word charity is intermixed with the word love. Love is a proper way to describe charity, but I think in a lot of ways, today it's lost in translation, the depth of what that really means within the Catholic faith. When we think about the word love, we're thinking oftentimes of an emotion, a feeling. And while that's very true, charity, in many ways, is love with action. Love that goes beyond just simple emotion and or feeling. We look at Christ, and what he did on Good Friday is the epitome of charity. We saw his love for everyone throughout his entire ministry, the countless people that he healed, all sinners in some way. And he meets them with love, but that love produces action. And that action is always outwardly focused in two ways, on God and a neighbor. And so when you really look at every one of the miracles that Jesus performs, right? It's a outpouring of love through action. That action is healing. That action is raising someone else up. That action is meant to better the lives of another. That's amazing when you really begin to break down charity. So what does the Catechism say? Let's just start there. Charity is a theological virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake and our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. And one of the things that jumped out to me again as I was preparing for this podcast is just looking outwardly today. Today, unfortunately, and I believe it was Matthew Kelly who said it, we love things and we use people. In a world today where we, you know, are bombarded with technology and all these amazing tools to help us do this amazing work, even here with a podcast. Again, we love technology and we end up using people rather than loving people and, you know, using technology to foster that love. Another thing that really jumped out to me is that just in study in general and just in, you know, quiet reflection, what I tend to see, and I can be guilty of this as well, please understand, not throwing stones here. We love others and we forget God. Or we love others before we even love God. And so we often have this command of loving God above all else first. We tend to lose that within who we are as people. You know, charity in many ways today has just been kind of downplayed into financial giving in many ways. We think that oftentimes fixing things is just done by throwing money at it, where it's not true. Within the Vincentian family, we often talk about systemic change. And systemic change within poverty, what you come to understand in many cases is that education is a foundational element to generational poverty. And so by helping better educate these individuals, by giving them more knowledge, more skills, more abilities, we're able to help raise them up out of poverty. So it's not just simply throwing money at it. We've got to understand that charity, true charity that Christ exemplified throughout his entire ministry, including his passion, death, and resurrection, was all about action. His love was never without doing something. And we saw that in its pinnacle on Good Friday. To love to the end where he was, you know, hung on a cross, crowned with thorns, scourged at the pillar, He physically gave in his charity. His love was so pure, so strong, that he was willing to go to that end for all of us. So really, that's our call here as Christians, as Catholics, is to go deeper with our charity, to allow it to begin to shape our actions in a new and powerful way. Again, when we think about, you know, Jesus' command, right, to love one another as I have loved you, it's not just about, you know, thinking nicely about a person. It's not just about that. It's about action. Jesus himself was about action. So his command to us that we're to love one another is to not only care about that person, but to change our actions in a manner that seeks a better end for that person. I think that's one of the things that oftentimes we think what we want is what's best for that person. And we have to help that person come to understanding the truth, specifically the divine truth, in a much more meaningful and powerful way. You know, one of the things too is that, you know, Jesus says that abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Again, it's a very confusing world today. It can be very challenging as it relates to balancing or reconciling faith versus secular view. What do I determine to be true? What am I allowing to impact my thoughts, my actions? We've got to start there. You know, one of the things that often happens when we talk about scripture, things like that, is there errancy in the Bible? Yes, I'll say it. There is. We often talk about errancy with regard to the following. It might be regarding measurements, distances between towns, those kinds of things. But it's not. There's no errancy as it relates to moral teaching. That's what Jesus' true message is about. It's about how to live a better moral, beautiful life. You know, again, I'm going to jump back to Aristotle, you know, who was 500 years prior to the time of Christ, who himself said the only way to achieve happiness, which he again understood to be the pinnacle of human attainment, was that it could only be achieved by living a moral and virtuous life. What we understand and how Christ in his revelation and becoming present to live amongst us is he unlocked and broke open this ability of really what virtue is. How living a life of faith and hope and charity guides us to our eternal end that was unknown before, that what could only in many ways could never be reasoned. We see that in Aristotle. He didn't understand heaven. But again, Jesus breaks that open, that death no longer is the end for those who believe, who follow his commands, who understand that there is something still greater beyond. What a gift he's given us. That's a gift of charity, action, a love of action that breaks open to the eternal. You know, Christ died for us out of love. Why we were still enemies. That comes from the Catechism, paragraph 1825. You know, that's an amazing thing when you think about that. Jesus loved his enemies until death on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. One of his last words before he says, it is finished. An amazing thing. And so it's not just about loving people who are like-minded. It's building beyond, trying to help the others who are outside the faith, who are maybe walked away from the faith or things like that, come back. And how do we do that? Through charity, but charity of action. We have to meet people where they're at. It's one thing about interesting about Jesus. He always meets us, and he always met people in Scripture where they were at. You know, one of the examples that's coming to my mind as we're talking about is the woman at the well. Right, here is a Samaritan woman, a Gentile woman who is, again, not Jewish. And Jesus literally meets her where she's at. Not just physically, yes, at the well, but where she was in her life at the time. That's an amazing, amazing piece of scripture there. He meets everyone where they're at. And it might be their lowest point. Sometimes they're in a good place. Right? We talked a couple weeks ago about the rich young man He was in a financial place better than the woman at the well. But yet, the outcomes are greatly different. The rich man walks away disheartened because Jesus tells him to sell everything in order to follow him. Whereas the woman at the well, Jesus not only reveals to her all that's happened in her own life. You know, he says to her, you know, believe in me and I will give you living water. I think we all thirst for something. We all thirst for love, acceptance, justice, so many things in our life that we thirst for. And we continue after these particular things that drive us. We thirst for recognition. We thirst for acceptance. We thirst for understanding. But it's in Jesus that we find that comfort, because he is enough. You know, this came up in a discussion I had recently. Sometimes in life, we want to feel as though we're enough for others. We may be trying to please a spouse or a parent, or we may be trying to please coworkers or whomever. But in the end, we may never feel as though we're enough. It's common. A lot of people who maybe suffer with depression, things like that, feel that way. But see, it's not us who are enough. We're never enough. But Jesus is. Right? That's why we're fallen in our nature. Jesus, though, is this gift of charity who, again, continues to meet us where we are at. And when we go to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, depending on your translation, we see what depth charity really is. Now, in some translations, we'll see it, and we often hear it, especially at marriages and weddings, you know, it's love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in that which is right. So depending on your translation, you may find the word love, which is a beautiful thing, but the translation going back really is charity. Charity is patient and kind. Charity is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Charity does not insist on its own way. When we begin to use the word charity instead of love, again, love is that emotion. I'm not going to be jealous of someone, but now my actions are not in jealous manner. I'm not going to boast personally, but now my actions are no more boastful. So think about that. Now you're getting that. When you think about charity, it begins to help form humility, the virtue of humility. It's not rude or arrogant. Again, what does that do? It's forming another virtue. So not the emotion, but the word charity, that love of action, that love that carries us forward, now builds into the human virtue of meekness and mortification. It does not insist on its own way. That would be the virtue here of simplicity, right? And simplicity for Vincent was God first always. It's not irritable or resentful. Again, that's probably reaching into the virtue of meekness, being able to control our emotions. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. What is the right? Might be the example of the virtue of prudence. So the theological virtues in many ways embolden or begin to shape our human virtues. It's such a great gift that we see here. It's such a great gift. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is that when we think of love, again, we're just talking about an emotion, whereas charity is called a greater action. So now that we've looked at these three amazing theological virtues, what more can we do now? Well, we have to begin to pray, because again, just like all of the other, just like the other two, charity is a response to grace, because human love only goes so far. We are imperfect, finite beings, whereas God is the infinite good. The infinite positive, the infinite. And when you think about that, it's conceptually, we can't even fathom eternity. But again, charity here is a response of grace. When God forms love within you that is inspired by grace, we begin to see something that begins to approach the way that Christ truly loved. Because again, that grace shapes, changes, and enhances how we offer ourselves. And we see that in so many ways. You know, and for those who are listening, I guess where I really want to take a moment and ask you to pray, even right now, where am I struggling in my love? Where is an opportunity for me to respond to God's grace that can not only change this idea of love in my mind, but better form all that inspires that love of action? It might be in my family life. I could be having struggles with my parents or my spouse or a brother and sister. I mean, so many times, you know, families, unfortunately today, end up in states of discord and disarray, and, you know, parents aren't speaking to one another, or siblings, you know, walk away from one another. So many different ways. Where is that? Where is that in your life today, where God is asking you to respond to this grace to make your love of others better and your love for Him first? Let's not forget that. Where can I be of greater charity in my own faith life? Can I give an extra couple dollars every week in the collection plate? Can I give more time in loving God through adoration, confession, praying the rosary? Where? Spending more time in scripture, reading more books to help form my mind in what is love. Where is God calling you to maybe not be jealous or boastful? Do we have those times of arrogance or being rude? Am I wanting my own way over what God is wanting in my life? Am I letting work or school prevent me from really connecting to God at a greater depth? Am I irritable? Am I resentful? You know, we all have trauma. We all do. And one of the things I've learned in just in general is that while I can't control the trauma that maybe has been done, it's my responsibility to deal with whatever issues I'm personally experiencing. And so that's an important thing, is that we have this opportunity within us to respond. Everything is a choice. Right? Are we rejoicing in things that are wrong versus rejoicing in things that are right? And what I mean by right again is good, truthful, loving. It's a divided world. Turn on the news and you will see, in many cases, just sadness spread throughout the newscast in so many ways, from crimes and murder and hatred. It just fills our newsways. It fills our social media platforms, whether that's on Facebook or Instagram, TikTok. So many different things where hatred is just poured forth. It's in TV shows and movies. So what are we responding to? Are we rejoicing in the evil and wrong that we see? Are we getting entertainment out of that? Are we finally able to say, you know what? No. I need to see something better. I need to see something more loving. You know, charity bears all things. Think about Jesus at that moment. Charity bears all things. To me, here, Holy Saturday, those words mean so much more because everything He bore on the cross, hanging there for us. Could we bear the same? Now, Jesus asks us to bear our cross, or our cross is. But you know what? Charity also believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity, in many ways, this is why St. Paul says charity is the greatest of the theological virtues, because charity inspires hopes, it inspires faith, it inspires action. So, where are we really responding? The love we see versus the love we desire can be two different things. Oftentimes, the love we desire is very selfish because it's seeking our own personal end, our own personal gratification, versus the love we see demonstrated is self-giving, self-sacrificing. It's not self-absorbed. It's devoid of anything wrong. It's so powerful. And so, with these last couple days here in Lent, I just pray this. I pray you take a moment today, tomorrow, even next week as we continue in now into Easter. Let us really celebrate this gift of charity. A love of action that makes so much joy in our life because of what occurs here on Easter Sunday. The resurrection of the Lord opens us to the eternal love of God. Death is no longer a barrier. Sin is no longer a weight that can pull us down and keep us separated from God. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I do have another quote. I'm still trying to get better at them. Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, let love, let charity embolden our faith and hope in not just this Easter season, but every day going forward. With that, as always, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, pass it along to a friend. And until next time, keep practicing.